Bible reading comes from Acts chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 1 to 10. Acts 28, I'm going to read 1 to 10. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. And when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a guy that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was stuck in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. And when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. This is the word of the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to be with you. I've been doing a double dose this morning. I was speaking at the 9:30 service as well. And the 9:30, I always like to bring a few visual aids along, and I couldn't resist sharing a couple of the visual aids with you at the 11 o'clock. We're not beyond visual aids. Because what I've been trying to think about when I first read this passage is examples of things that keep going on regardless. That keep going on regardless. And I thought, well, what could I use as an example? And one of the obvious examples, I suppose, is this. A Duracell battery. Do any of us here use Duracell batteries? Do you remember that TV advert a few years ago that had, was it the Clockwork Bunnies? That was right. Powered by Duracell. And they kept going longer than any other bunny. And gosh, that was very successful marketing, wasn't it? And I found lots of devices at home, several of which won't work because I pulled the batteries out of them, that had the Duracell batteries in them. And I was saying to them that another example of something that keeps going regardless is probably, you're looking at it, it's me. Because in January of this year, I celebrated 20 years as head teacher of Lawrence Sheriff, the school where I work. I've been there a bit longer than that because I was deputy for about 18 months beforehand. And this was the card the staff very kindly sent me when I got to 20 years. And it's a little bit more common in primary schools. It's very, very unusual in secondary schools for a head teacher to clock up 20 years. And I'd love to say that most of the comments about my 20 years were people saying, well, hasn't it been a wonderful 20 years of solid achievement? But I've got to be honest, most people, the most common comments I got was, how have you kept going this long? Just, I'm amazed. No one sacked you or anything. You still want to do it as well. But the image I finally settled on with the 9:30, and which is something to say for us, is this, a bucket and spade. I don't know if anyone's had a holiday by the seaside this summer, but certainly it brought back memories. I don't think I've built any sandcastles this year, but we often go to Gower, where Sean is from originally, and lots of walks along the beaches. And when the children were younger, they'd never ask me to build the sandcastles because they mum to do it. She knows what she's doing. And how often have a number of us been in this situation? You know, where you build a beautifully formed sandcastle and you build the moat around it and it looks absolutely fantastic. And then you just notice that sea that has looked that bit further away is a bit closer, and it's a bit closer, and a bit closer, and a bit closer. And finally, the tide is lapping at the sand castle you've built, and you think, oh, it's all right, it's got a moat and so on, but it keeps coming in, until finally the tide flows in, and splat, there goes your sand castle that you have spent so long beautifully building and beautifully forming. And in a way, this is what I think is happening throughout Acts, and we see illustrated in Acts 28. Not so much the sandcastle bit, perhaps, but again and again, we see that barriers are created. Barriers that are put in place by the enemy in order to stop the gospel spreading, in order to stand in its way, and to stop the good news about Jesus being heard. And Luke is saying to us, do you know what? All of those different barriers, they're just like sand castles on the beach. Trying to hold back the gospel, the good news, is like trying to stop the tide flowing in. Of course, just before Jesus ascends to heaven, the end of Matthew, he gives this command, go and make disciples of all nations. And in many ways, I think we could say that in Acts, which we're coming towards the end of, and I don't know about you, I found it a really powerful series to work through and to see. But Acts shows what happens when the early church acts upon that command to go and make disciples of all nations. Peter and then Paul, accompanied by others, go out and they travel across Europe and across Asia. And one estimate I saw was that in Paul's missionary journeys, he covered about 10,000 miles. I think that might be quite conservative. In a way, you know, you hear about someone covering 10,000 miles and you think, oh, well, it's all right, you know, sort of catch a plane. I've got to go in October. Sean's coming with me to a conference in Shanghai. And I think we'll be covering around sort of quite a few thousands of miles in order to get there. But plane, you know, you might do a scenic trip on a train or a ferry. But that wasn't what it was like for Paul and those who went out. It was hard, tough foot slog. It was difficult. It was challenging. It was dangerous. And they did all this because they took Jesus at his word. Go and make disciples of all nations. But they also took at his word what he said at the end of that command in Matthew, where Jesus says at the end of that section in Matthew, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. When we go out in his name, when we live for Jesus, Jesus goes with us and Jesus walks with us. And as one goes through Acts, one sees again and again those barriers, those sand castles on the shore that are put up and erected to try and stop the gospel. And again and again, Paul is arrested. That'll stop him, won't it? No. God sends an earthquake and the prison doors are flung open. Paul is repeatedly beaten. That'll stop him? No. In fact, the people who beat Paul come and apologize when they realize, because of course they discover that Paul was a Roman citizen. You beat a Roman citizen without a trial, you could be in very serious trouble. There are riots, and the city officials in Ephesus and elsewhere say, no, no, this man's done nothing wrong. Again and again, the barriers that are put in the way are washed out of the way. Paul sums up all the challenges he faced in 2 Corinthians 11. He says, five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. Because Paul was acting on that command, go and make disciples of all nations. But he knew that Jesus had promised to walk with him. Which takes us to Acts 28. And around the end of 27, beginning of 28, one could easily read it and think, right, is this the moment? Is this the moment that sandcastle that's been built on the shore is finally going to block Paul? Has he reached the end of what God is willing to do for him? Because he's been arrested. Jewish leaders had stirred up a riot again, and he'd appealed to Caesar and was being sent to Rome to stand trial. And he's been taken on board this prison ship by a Roman centurion and a guard. A storm. And it's this the moment, on board a ship in the middle of nowhere, in the dark, when finally God's protection for Paul is running out. And Acts 28 is all about saying, no, 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 because Jesus says, surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And everything that is put in Paul's way, in the way of the gospel, is turned on its head. What should be an insurmountable barrier becomes instead a way of sharing the good news about Jesus. So just as the ship is going down, the guards, the soldiers, pull out their swords. And what they're going to do is they're going to kill the prisoners, because that was the code when you were arrested under the Roman auspices. Because if the Roman guards allowed that prisoner to break free, their life was forfeit. So if a prisoner was about to escape, you killed them, and that way you were safe. But the centurion intervenes because he wants to protect Paul. He's not bothered about the others, but he wants to protect Paul. And because of this, they're all allowed to wash up safely on the shores of Malta. And as they're gathering wood for a fire, because it's cold and they're being soaked in the sea, the next barrier is put in the way. The locals, the curious locals, have gathered around and they see this rather bedraggled, becomes a snake, and it bites him, it bites Paul. And the locals all think, there we are. There, that's his just deserts. He's escaped the shipwreck, but he must have done something awful, and God is sending down judgment upon him. But it isn't a barrier, because God is in control, and Paul shakes off the snake, and it falls into the fire. And instead of him being held in disgrace, the locals think, wow, God's working here. Instead of Paul being treated like a prisoner, once they land in Malta and thrown into a prison cell, what happens? He is taken to the home of the most important official on the island, Publius. No doubt because the centurion who was looking after him fancied having decent accommodation. And where he went, Paul went with him. And he is given, effectively, the best bed on the island instead of a prison cell. And God uses it. Publius says, father is ill. So Paul prays for him and he gets better. And when the people on the island see what has happened, they all come to be prayed for and they get better as well. Paul, who had come in disgrace with people suspicious, thinking it was God's judgment, suddenly is held in the highest esteem on the island. And it says at the end of a passage we read that when the time finally comes for Paul and the others to go, but they honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies that we needed. You go back to Malta today and do the tourist trail. Where is the first place they want to take you? They want to take you to St. Paul's Bay, where he landed, because it's still remembered. They're still saying, God turned all those barriers around. Instead of this being the point where the tide of the gospel stopped flowing, it flooded over Malta. And Jesus was able to spread the good news. Instead of it being an opportunity to point the finger at Paul and say, you're held in disgrace, he was honored. And so was the name of Jesus. And this was the practical. Jesus saying, right, it's not just a theoretical statement. Paul, you face shipwreck and prison and death and disgrace for my name. Jesus says, I will be there. And as you honor me, so I will bless you. So the tide of the gospel keeps flooding in. And just to close, we might be thinking, yeah, well, that's all right, but what's this got to say to us today in the 21st century on a sunny bank holiday weekend in Lutterworth? And although we might not face shipwreck or death or imprisonment or the imminent threat of being bitten by a viper, exactly the same promise is made to us in the 21st century that was made to Jesus' followers then. Jesus certainly doesn't promise us that it will be easy or straightforward when we follow him. He doesn't say it will always be an easy life. And it's been wonderful to read Acts and see the flow, the sweep of the book and all the challenges that were there. And anyone who's taken all that in will get, but it's not always an easy time being a follower of Jesus. But what he does promise is that everywhere we go, he will walk with us. Surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. He promises to be with us, and he says that nothing can stop that incoming flow of the gospel as he walks with us, as he stands by us, as he guides us through the challenges that we face in our lives, and as we see that tide of the gospel continuing to flow in. Nothing, none of the sandcastles that the enemy places in its way can stop that tide of the good news of the Lord Jesus flooding in at the time of Acts or flooding in today. Jesus promises us, surely I will be with you to the very end of the age as we go and make disciples of all nations. Amen.